Last week we looked at Judas. Today we look at Peter. Adrenaline versus the power of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this man, Peter. He turned out to be a very faithful servant of yours, but he had some struggles getting there. Perhaps some of us have struggles, not unlike Peter's. Help us to learn something today that will help us be better servants for you. I ask for your help and guidance through this message, and I ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Peter, in spite of his reputation for speaking impulsively and often putting his feet in his mouth, I don't know where that expression came from, but it's kind of descriptive. Peter had a lot of good qualities. He was determined, assertive, courageous, loyal, and a man of conviction. He illustrates for us a very important principle. It is not our human resources like adrenaline that makes us lively stones for Christ. It is something much more powerful than that. Let's review a little bit of Peter and his life as a disciple. In John chapter 1, verses 40 and 41, we find out that Andrew, Peter's brother-in-law, is the one who introduced him to Jesus. In John 1, 41, Andrew findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah." And so he brought him to Jesus, and Peter begins following the Lord, as he called him, by the seaside. Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, which must have been a remarkable experience for Peter. Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 and 15, Jesus was coming to Peter's house. He saw his wife's mother laid and sick with a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And so Peter is seeing very close up and personal Jesus' power. Peter was in the boat when Jesus calmed the sea. All the disciples, of course, were with him on that occasion. That must have been an amazing thing. Peter was among those who called upon Jesus saying, "We're going to perish, we're going to perish." Which one of us would not have called out the same in a boat that is just about to capsize, filling up with water? I'm not much of a boat person myself. I don't swim very well, and the thought of being tossed out of a boat in the midst of deep water is not a very good prospect to me. I'm sure the disciples felt the same. They might have been pretty good swimmers, but they're out in the middle of the sea, and I don't know how far they would have had to swim to get to shore, and with the choppy waves the way they were, and yet Jesus simply speaks, rebukes the wind, and there was a great calm, and the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Remember, Peter walked on water? That was pretty remarkable. He didn't get very far, but at least he tried. How many of us would do that? None of the other disciples did. Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 and 29. Peter said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter was come down out of the ship, and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Imagine that. Of course, when he took his eyes off of Jesus, that's when he began to sink. Remember that language? He began to sink. Who begins to sink in water? I think most of us would just go kerplunk. We're down. which showed that Jesus was watching out for him the whole time. He was on the Mount of Transfiguration, saw the glory of Christ. Matthew chapter 17. It was an amazing sight when Jesus was transfigured into his Shekinah glory, and there is Moses and Elijah. What a vision. Peter was one of only three disciples that was included in a private audience when Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. I mean, it's one thing to heal people, but to bring them back to life from dead is an entirely another matter. Luke chapter 8, verses 51 through 56. And Peter, along with all the other disciples, saw Jesus bring Lazarus out of the grave. I mean, Jairus' daughter had just died. Lazarus, in the terms of one of his sisters, he must now already stink in the state of decay. And yet Jesus was able to bring him back to normalcy. Amazing. I think one of the things that Peter exhibited was a rush of adrenaline. Any of you ever experienced that? Adrenaline is a hormone produced by the adrenal glands. In times of excitement or emotional distress, large quantities of adrenaline are released into the body. It can stimulate the heart, constrict the blood vessels, raise blood pressure, increase blood sugar, relax some muscles and contract others, and dilate the bronchioles, aiding respiration and inhibits digestion. Has all kinds of effects on our physical stamina, but one of the things it does, it stimulates the nervous system and fortifies the body for emergencies. True story, a man was working on his car, and he was underneath the car where it was jacked up, and the jacks gave way, and the car fell on this man. His wife sees this happen, and in a rush of adrenaline, she had the strength to lift the car enough for her husband to roll out. True story. That's amazing. Peter displayed a considerable amount of intensity in his allegiance and loyalty to Christ. John chapter 6 and verse 18. John chapter 6, verse 18. I'm sorry, verse 66. I don't know where 18 came from. John chapter 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Mark chapter 10, verse 28. Mark 10 and verse 28. This is when Jesus had said that rich men will hardly be saved. This was Peter's response in Mark 10, 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, "Lo, we have left all and have followed thee." When Jesus insisted on washing Peter's feet over in John chapter 13, you remember what Peter's response was? Well, his first response was, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" And then he says, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Well, when Jesus explains to him, "If I don't wash your feet, I don't have anything to do with you," then he turns right around and says, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my feet. I want it all." Matthew chapter 26, Verse 31. Matthew 26, verse 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. Verse 33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. In the Mark account, in Mark chapter 14, where he says, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, Peter again responds, although shall all be offended, yet will I not. And he says, if I should die with thee, I will not deny in any wise. In the Luke account, Jesus says to him, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. John 13, verses 36 and 37. John chapter 13, verses 36 and 37. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee? I will lay down my life. That's a lot of boasts. But then this happened. Luke chapter 22, verse 55. Luke chapter 22, verse 55. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them, but a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he spake, the cock crew. And then the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, behold, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. What about all that boasting? I've left everything for you. I'm following you. I'll follow you to prison. I'll follow you to death. I will never deny you. If everybody else denies you, I will never deny you. And yet he did. I think I have an explanation for it. John chapter 18. They're in the Garden of Gethsemane. The people have come to arrest Jesus. John chapter 18 and verse 10. And Actually, in verse 7, they ask him again, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake of them which thou gavest me. Have I lost none?" Then Simon Peter, true to his word, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, "Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" And over in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 53, Jesus says, "I can pray to my Father, and he will give me 12 legions of angels." And then what does Jesus do? He put Malchus's ear back on and reversed what Peter had done. Essentially saying to Peter, "Peter, I don't need you. I can get 12 legions of angels. I can get, as the song says, 10,000 angels. I don't need you and your sword." And he reverses what Peter does. And Peter watches as Jesus lets them lead him away bound. He follows at a distance and is allowed into the inner place where they're beginning to ask Jesus questions in the middle of the night. And he sees Jesus not breaking the bonds. He could. Not escaping through the midst of the crowd as he did before. He could. Jesus is letting them abuse him. Peter's thinking, "I pledged my life to this man. I've given everything to this man. If he doesn't need me, I don't need him. I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him." Then Jesus rose from the dead. Peter was skeptical at first. John chapter 20, verse 3. Mary Magdalene had seen the empty tomb. She runs and tells Peter and John. It says in John chapter 20, verse 3, "Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple," John always referred to himself as "that other disciple," "and came to the sepulcher." So they ran both together, and the other disciples did outrun Peter. So John runs faster. I don't know, for whatever reason, I always envision John as a young, fit man, and Peter as a big, husky fisherman. I don't know. Peter might not have been big and husky at all. I just picture him that way, and maybe that's why John could outrun him. John comes to the sepulchre, it says, verse 5, and he's stooping down and looking in. He didn't go in. Saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Here comes Peter. Verse 6, "Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre." He didn't stop at the door. He just runs right in. There's an interesting thing that is noted here. In verse 8, it tells us that John believed. But it doesn't tell us that Peter believed. But over the next number of weeks, there are several encounters with the risen Christ. And something changed in Peter. John 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. You understand, they didn't go out in a little tiny boat with fishing rods. This was a fisherman's boat with a great big huge net that they would use to drag and catch numerous fish. Well, it didn't work. Verse 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. It's a man standing on the shore, and they're out in the sea. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye meat? They answered, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship. He did this before, didn't he? They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved, that is John, saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, that is, he didn't have a shirt on, and did cast himself into the sea. In other words, he's swimming to shore. Now, the boat has a heavy net that it has to drag along with it. It's the slow boat. He can swim, apparently, faster than a slow boat. He's not waiting around. He wants to get to shore to see Jesus. Having seen and encountered the resurrected Christ made a tremendous difference in Peter's life. It is Peter that preaches on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. And verse 14. Acts chapter 2 and verse 14. I won't read the whole thing, but portions of it. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. Drop down to verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Men and brethren, verse 29, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore whereof we all are witnesses. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And that sermon was so powerful that according to verse 41, 3,000 people got saved that day. Then, Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are going into the temple, and here's a lame man, and remember what happened? Oh, he begged for alms, and Peter says that wonderful thing, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he rises up and he walks, and it created a tremendous stir. So much so that Peter and the rest were brought before the Jewish rulers. Acts chapter 4 and verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. What has happened to Peter? This man was with Jesus. No, I don't even know him. And now he's proclaiming his name boldly and publicly. He had encountered the resurrected Christ. In our Christianity, it is possible to be caught up in a movement, to be driven by mere excitement, the excitement of an experience and the activities of a group, to be caught up in a fad, to be caught up in the thing to do, a tide that pushes us toward the shore. And then something happens, and we flop. That's not unusual when all it is the adrenaline of the moment that is the tide that is pushing us. Peter's adrenaline was acting like a tide in his life and drove him in his loyalty to Christ to be rash and impulsive until Jesus broke his spirit and he flopped. But as a result of that experience, Peter learned something vital. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, shall we hear it directly from his own mouth? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy... Oh, how Peter knew the mercy of God. Hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. Chapter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, Peter's still speaking, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. Oh, Peter, did you ever suffer? Do you think there was any suffering in Peter the night he betrayed Jesus? After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother, unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. And Peter learned this. It's not about us being strong. He thought he was strong. I'll never deny you. I'll go to prison. I'll go to death. I've left everything to follow you. Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee. In any wise, I'm ready to go with thee to prison, to death. I will lay down my life for thy sake. And then he realized he didn't have the strength within himself to resist denying Christ. He had the adrenaline that could push him to boast in what he will do. But when the moment came, he couldn't do it. And then he saw how powerful Christ really is when he came out of the grave. Peter wasn't ready to do any of his boasts until he saw the resurrected Christ and realized that his own weakness and failure was swallowed up in the victory of Christ's death and resurrection. Kept, not by my adrenaline, but by the power of God. Have you ever suffered a spiritual failure that caused you to weep? God's forgiveness is real. If we confess our sins, you know what He is? Faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have you denied him? Maybe you haven't even done anything that severe. Peter was forgiven. You can be too. And his power is available to us if we will trust him instead of trusting ourselves. I can, after all, do all things through Christ, which is the one who strengthens me. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Did you get that? Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Every one of us can have the same turnaround in our lives that Peter had Examine. Are you driven by your own adrenaline? Or are you trusting in the power of the resurrected Christ? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, that he arose from the dead, and that same power is available to us as we trust in him. Lord, if there's anyone struggling with a spiritual failure in their lives, help them to find your forgiveness. It's so real and so cleansing. And then turn their hearts to rest in your power and your grace, just as Peter did. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.